Hello, everybody. Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here. And today we're going to talk about, in the Tactical Fitness Report, what is family life like in the teams? And we can, very, very similar to other jobs in the military, other special ops jobs in the military. It's a challenge. And I think statistically speaking, marriages in the United States, whether you're a civilian or military or not, divorce rates are pretty high. I mean, I think it's about a 50-50 chance of marriages surviving anyway. But unfortunately, when you're in the special operations groups, sometimes that divorce rate's a little higher. In fact, the last I had seen, I think it was in the low 70s, if I'm correct, somewhere in that zone.
I would think it's probably at least that. And, I can't say that I recall ever seeing an official statistic, or maybe I was shown one and didn't pay attention, which is probably equally likely.
Right.
In time. It's high, though. It's really, really high, and higher than it. Maybe it's a surprise to people how high it is, but once you've kind of lived in the community, there's a little bit more rationale as to why. And I think that's where Stu and I are going to get super long-winded on this, but Stu and I have two different perspectives based off of this decisions we made, right? I've been, while in teams, I was married and got divorced in the teams. Stu is the opposite. So we thought this would be a good opportunity to share with you some objective insights on just what our experiences were.
Yeah. I'll go first since I'm older. I started this process. I actually started dating my wife a year before I said bye to her before Buds. So almost like a year anniversary, I started Buds that next Monday, right? So Sunday was our year anniversary. So we were dating for a year, my senior year at the Naval Academy, before I left. And I went to California and she stayed back east. But you know what? I think what worked out for that long distance relationship is that, you know, I was going through Buds and I was busy, right? I really didn't have time for a girlfriend anyway, right? We stayed together, but she was just as busy. She worked full time for a military contractor, but was getting her college degree at night. So once again, she didn't have time for me either. If I'd have been there, you know, wanting to hang out with her, you know, she was busy too. So I think that helped us, you know, through those years of, you know, kind of getting through Buds. We'd visit 3-day weekends, things like that. And, you know, so that kind of worked out well. And then we, you know, got into the teams. I still didn't get married until I was a lieutenant, which was 4 years later. And then we had kids 3 years later. But I will say this, you know, my year of engagement, I was gone 9 months. You know, my first year of marriage, I was gone 9 months, you know, and this was not during a war cycle. I mean, this is just normal workup and deployment cycle, you know, going to the Mediterranean and, you know, going on deployment, you know, so it was a different world before 9/11, but you were still gone a lot. You still did a lot of training and then, long story short, started having kids. This was in 97. My daughter was born and, I was starting to kind of lean towards the process of getting out at that point. And, Jeff and I had a big conversation on kind of why we got out, and, we'll maybe save that one for another show.
Yep.
And, but you know, I that was a decision, you know, that was a decision I made. I had a hard time leaving my dog on deployment. You know, and you know, I really didn't, you know, want to do that again for multiple times. And so, you know, like I said, that was my decision to get out the next couple of years. So luckily I spent that year at the Naval Academy back as a company officer and running the SEAL program there. And then I got out then. But you know, let me just say, this was a different time in the world too. One, it was the 90s. Two, they were actually paying people to get out early, right? You could get out of the military after 8 or 9 years with an early retirement. You know, they were saying we're downsizing. So it was, you know, and then 3 years later, 9/11 happens and the world turned upside down. And that's when Jeff came in.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you know, the divorce rate was still just as high in the 90s as it was in 2000s. Yeah. It was just the opposite. You know, we were getting out because we were bored. And then, you know, after 9/11, 10 years afterwards of constant war deployments, people were getting out because they kind of been there, done that, and time to move on, and burnt out from doing that. So it's been interesting. So I guess we need to get talking about the whole relationship process. If you want to start on your side, and
yeah, I'll be pretty brief because it's really just a Stu's kind of laid out the blueprint. Is, you know, for me, I'm the opposite. That, you know, I unplanned but not an unwanted pregnancy happened when I was a young team guy on the West Coast. I pretty much had my target set on moving to Virginia Beach to go to the command screen for that, and I did. And, you know, an infant in tow that was my son at the time was only like, 12 weeks old when I went through selection here. That selection process is long, and you're not around even for that, and it's stressful, and, you know, your family can't stay with you if you're, you know, if you're going to be TDY. It just so happened that my ex-wife's family was from Hampton. So that's basically, she lived with her grandmother during that time. So I was able, fortunately, to see my son on the weekends at times, but not a whole lot. And, but as soon as that command, man, as soon as I got through selection, man, it was a dead sprint. And my time away from my family, you know, just, it was tumultuous with my ex-wife, and still is a little bit sometimes, but a lot of that is my fault, just because of my anger and my angst and my desire, my selfish, you know, I just didn't feel like I could fit the two together, you know. But it was kind of my unwinding, because after doing it for so many years, and as the number of deployments that I did, you know, 11 years in, 10 years in, I just, like Stu, I had to really look at my priorities. And for me, these are my priorities. I had been in sustained combat now for a little over 9 years, or right about 9 years at that point. And I was like, I just need to see, like, my father was always there for me, or my mother, both, really. And I was just gone. I think it was probably harder on me than it was my son, because he was still pretty young. But that's why, like, I get out, and, you know, family is tough. Regardless of, you know, if you are an officer and you're listed, it's hard. Yeah. Regardless if you're a young team guy or you're an old team guy, it's hard. But it's my firm belief that I look at the guys and the teams that truly get experience, the SEAL community, like from all angles, the good and the bad, but really the good that we hold our community up to. You see that when they have a healthy family lifestyle, when they have a wonderful wife at home, when they're able to leave work at work and be with their family and be comfortable. And a lot of that just really has to do with taking responsibility, you know, making sure that you're responsible as a team guy and getting the work done, that people are dependent upon you, because then you can leave it there.
Yeah.
And that was my thing, is like, I cut some corners, as we all kind of do as team guys, and it caught up to me. And, although being a good, I was a talented SEAL, I made some mistakes, and now it's like, shoot, that spilled into my family life. And that's a big part of kind of what Stu and I believe is, like, yeah, the tactical, the training stuff is valuable, and we're not here to give any marriage advice or anything like that, but it is certainly possible to have a really healthy family given the context of this unique world that we're in. And it's possible. And it seems like those guys that are able to do that with the wonderful wives that they're able to have, they balance it.
I tell you what though, and I'm sure you will agree with me on this one, is that every military family that is surviving and doing well, their kids are some of the most well-adjusted kids, and the family life is there, you know, and they're just part of the Navy with them.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, some of the smartest kids, I mean, some of these kids go to 10 different schools in 12 years, and
these kids are tough.
I mean, they're just so resilient with change, and, you know, and it's tough on everybody, but at the same time, the cool thing about the SEAL teams is that, for the most part, you can kind of stay in the same area for multiple years.
Yeah.
Like you can bounce on the East Coast SEAL teams and you can hang out on the West Coast SEAL teams. And, you know, every now and then you might get tasked to move somewhere else or maybe overseas tour, which I tell you what, man, you take your kids overseas and the next thing you know, in 2 months, they've learned a new language.
Yep.
You know, and they're just so well-versed and well-traveled and so mature. I've been nothing but impressed by, you know, the military families that I've known through the years. I mean, they're incredible. So on that, I wanted to say that, you know, let's don't get too caught up in the 70% divorce rate. Let's talk about, you know, the 30% success rate, you know, that is occurring every day. You know, it's really kind of like buds. I mean, we talk about the, you know, 80% attrition, but, you know, I'd rather talk about the 20% of the guys that make it.
For sure.
You know, and, you know, it's just a different focus. And I will give you a little bit of advice. You know, all the people who go into this job, you know, are really kind of highly motivated, A-type personalities, want to be in charge, want to be the best, really competitive. But if you take that same mentality and apply it to your family life, you can actually do really well. And here's how it works. Before you get into your house where your family is, take a big deep breath in the carport and say, all right, how am I going to be the best dad when I walk in that door, right? How am I going to be the best husband when I walk through that door? And, you know, you just take the same lifestyle and the same motivation that has gotten to where you are now and apply it to your family and your relationships. And I'm telling you, it really works. And, you know, as opposed to going into that house, being exhausted and beaten up and the day has just killed you. And now you're just an asshole when you walk into your house and nobody wants to talk to you. You know, it's, you got to play the game a little bit. You know, yep. and that's the hard part, right? But, you know, when you're at Bud's, there are days when you don't want to go swim 2 miles, right? But you do it anyway, right? So apply that same kind of mentality to your family and your relationships, and you'll see a big difference.
Yeah. My one piece of advice, Stu, would be this. And again, this is, keep in mind, these are really from our experiences. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I'm just telling you, had I done this differently for me, I wouldn't have had this, maybe this glorious reawakening, if you will, but I certainly would not have had the heartburn that I create put upon myself. And it's one word, it's vulnerability. And now it's ironic because you don't really want to show, and you don't need to show a whole lot of vulnerability when it's time for work. You're not there to show vulnerability, not to say you can't be nurturing and caring and loving and appreciative, but you don't really want to be vulnerable, even psychologically maybe. But when you walk through that door and you take that big deep breath and go, how can I be a dad today? How can I be a great husband? Be vulnerable. Your family already knows what you know, hypothetically what you do. They already appreciate what you do. They know how difficult and it can be in regards to what their level of understanding is. They know it's a tough job. It's a tough life. But if all you do is bring that body armor into your house and you deflect all of the attention and the necessity to communicate with not only your wife, but your children, what you're going to end up doing is that the community will consume you. Not that that's a terrible thing for some, but for me, my identity got wrapped up in the community when my identity should have been rooted in my family so that I could do that job. And that's, again, that goes into not dating advice, but it's kind of who we pick, you know, like good, bad, or otherwise, we are responsible for who our mate is. And when you choose a wife and you guys all choose to have that lifestyle together, communicate, and you got to be vulnerable to them. You don't have to necessarily be vulnerable in a certain way. You are, there's a little bit of vulnerability, certain in the teams, but not what's expected in the house. It's okay to express your concerns and worries with your family. It's okay to cry if you need to with your families and be afraid to deploy in front of your family, not to like shake them up and make them freak out. Cause like, oh my God, dad's freaking out cause he's scared. He's going to go to deployment and die. That's not what I mean. I mean, listen to your family, hear what they have to say. know that the concerns that they voice in the walls of your house and the structure of your family, you can affect. You may not be able to affect much at work at all, especially as a new SEAL. You're along for the ride.
Yeah.
You can certainly work inside your own household.
Yeah. I like that. That's really good. And, you know, one other thing too, you know, because you're going to be gone a lot, you know, but the one thing that you can do is let your family know that you are thinking of them. Right. And you can do that every day. Like even when you're home and you're at work, on your way home, you can say, "Hey, I'm stopping by Chick-fil-A. I'm getting a tea. Do you want?" Like my wife loves the half and half. She loves the lemonade and tea mix.
Yep.
So I say, "Hey, you want a half and half?" You know, and just a little quick text, and you know, it just lets her know I'm thinking of her on my way home.
Yeah.
Right? It's just little things like that, and do the same thing for your kids. Hey, you hungry? You need something for lunch? I'm running some errands. What do you want? You know.
I leave messages in my son's shower, or I have, like with the little grease pen.
Yeah.
I just write him in there as I'm thinking about it, because I leave one in his room, whatever, and he goes take a shower, and it just says, "Hey, I love you, buddy," or something. You know, like, I think that a lot of those things as team guys, it's kind of an unspoken understanding that we're busy. Like, got it, you're super busy. But just as what Stu is saying, it's those moments that, those are moments of vulnerability. That's what I'm talking about. You're actually stopped thinking about yourself for a minute and trying to take care of other people. And I didn't do that nearly enough, and not even close to enough. And now that's a whole other story. And that's what Stu and I eventually, you know, the why do we really do what we do? And that goes into that, which now we got the conversation of family life. For me, it's not a regret of mine, but man, wouldn't it have been awesome. It'd have been awesome if I had gotten to the teams, married, had super mom, because I helped when I could and I was gone when I needed to be, but I was there, you know, and been that dad. And I think it's certainly doable. Now, is it the hardest thing you're probably going to do? Yeah, to be able to balance that, it is, but I can say that it's certainly worth it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
yeah, I know this is a hard one to really objectify. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of guys, you know, have girlfriends, and some guys don't, you know, that are going into this job. And, you know, you'll hear it so many times, don't have a girlfriend, you know. Yeah. It's just one of those things. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you just, you meet the girl that you want to marry, and that it's that,
yeah,
you know. So
if you are truly unwilling, if you are truly, I'm not talking like you think about it for a second. I'm talking getting the deepest, darkest corner of your soul, and then get in the corner of that corner. And if that person that you're supposed to be with while you're in the teams, if you're not truly willing to sacrifice to that person, she ain't the right one, or he ain't the right one.
Yeah.
Like when you can say, you can honestly go, man, I really like being a SEAL, but I sure love my family more, or what? That's an example. Yeah. That's not the example I'm trying to get you to think, but it's like, you have to honestly think that, like, they're both of equal importance to some degree. But if you're struggling with that decision, you found the right person.
Right.
You should be struggling.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, because one thing that I noticed is that when you're away, being away is going to do one of two things. It is going to bring you closer, or it's going to tear you apart.
Yep.
I mean, it's just the way it goes. It almost forces a decision.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're this long-term dater, you know, been dating this person forever just because it's convenient and you live in the same area, try living overseas or try living across country and seeing if it still works.
Yeah.
You know, if that thing still works, you know, it might be something to keep on, you know, keep on moving with. So, you know, is a good test of any relationship.
Because you guys have all heard the stories of how much we've been gone, and I've perpetuated that sort of that information as well. I guess equally important information is that you got to ask yourself just what Stu is saying. Like, am I willing to be away from this person? Do I handle it? Does it change my mood? Am I in a better mood when I'm away from him? Am I in a worse mood when I'm away from them? All these sort of things. And if you're just kind of like, yeah, I got this girlfriend, or I got this, that's going to catch up to you, because at some point, for most people, right? Everyone deserves that level of happiness, to include your spouse, right? Even if you're being a jerk or you're gone all the time, they deserve your time and attention because that's what you committed to. And if you basically marry the teams when you're supposed to be with your wife, I'm saying that's why you got to complete your responsibilities at work so you can complete your home responsibilities at home, and you don't just start dumping the trash of each. You don't dump your family life trash in the team room. That's nope. Not going to go well.
No.
You don't take your team room trash and dump it in your kitchen either.
No.
That ain't neither Shut of those are going to be good.
Shut so it off. Yeah.
Be responsible, right? Sounds silly, but be responsible or close it. Close the day out. Right. Do the same thing. Close the day out with your wife. So you're not going to your team leader going, man, my ex-wife is taking me to court again. And da-da. Like, I've been down that, you know, and it's equally my fault. I ain't going to give her all the responsibility for being a jerk. I was there right there with her.
Right.
So that's my perspective. And that's really kind of all I got to say. It's,
no, I think this is a good one. I think this is our probably our poor attempt at being Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is what it is. You know, I think we all have our own story. Your story is going to be a little bit different than ours.
Yep.
Maybe similar, but regardless, it can work if you put in the work.
Yes.
So,
story for buds too.
Yeah. It really is.
You know, success is not proprietary to family life or buds. Success is proprietary to success.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Yep. Got to put in the work.
Yep.
To make it work. All right. Let's end with that.
All right.
All right.